then you should enter the BBC New Comedy Award 2018. To enter, go to www.bbc.co.uk/New Comedy Award, fill out an application form and upload a 5-minute clip of you performing your own original comedy material. The winner will receive £1,000, a 15-minute script commission with BBC Studios Comedy, and a beautiful Perspex trophy. Entries are open now and will close on Thursday, the 3rd of May 2018, and full terms and conditions can be found on the New Comedy Award website. And that email address again, website address again, sorry, www.bbc.co.uk/New Comedy Award. Now, in the final episode of the series, the broadcaster and comedian Hardeep Singh Kohli and the Sketchtopia team of writers and performers present more multicultural sketch fun. This week from Hardeep's home city of Glasgow.
It's Sketchtopia. Welcome your host, Hardeep Singh Kohli.
Hello and welcome to Sketchtopia, where we hope to discover a diverse, multicultural utopia through our love of sketch comedy. I'm your host, they call me Hardeep Singh Kohli. Guess where I am this week? I'm in Glasgow! Now, our group of Sketchtopia writers and performers aim to make sense of our multi-ethnic society through good old-fashioned British sketch comedy. Scotland has been at the heart of the history of sketch in the UK. I don't know if you know this, but Stanley Baxter is credited with bringing one of the first ever sketch shows to British television in 1959 with On the Bright Side. And one of the most famous sketches of all time, the class sketch from the Frost Report, was co-written by a man from Paisley, John Law. Paisley, so much more than just an abbey and drinking games. And it's rumoured that the fine man himself, John Cleese, found the inspiration for his silly walks routine after walking down Sucky Hall Street on a Saturday night. Well, it was either going to be silly walks or silly stabs, so... And I think there's massive differences. I come from Glasgow, right, and I lived in our capital city, our second city, known as Edinburgh, for a couple of years. And Edinburgh is the most beautiful city in the world, for sure. And the best thing about Edinburgh, it's only 45 minutes from the greatest city. The only thing about Edinburgh that lets it down is the nay chat. Pure nay chat. I mean, we are so much friendlier in Glasgow. I mean, you will get stabbed here, but we will then drive you to A&E, you know? I should point out at this point, I'm a Glaswegian Sikh, so I get to carry two knives. And when I first moved to Edinburgh, I was coming home, it was during the festival 2 years ago, and I was walking home, and it's just such a beautiful city, and the sun broke through the clouds, and I was the only person standing in the street, and I was illuminated in this radius of pure sunlight in the most beautiful architecture you could behold. And I had the most life-changing experience. Because at once, I felt absolutely like the most powerful human being on the planet, elevated, illuminated by this glorious heliocentricity. And you know that way you feel compelled to share these thoughts with someone so you can hear yourself say it so you know it actually happened. And of course, on cue, round the corner comes a typical Edinburgh person, so posh they sound almost English. Three-piece tweed suit and a wee Scotty Doug walking down the street. So I turned to my fellow Scot and I said, "Good morning, sir. Don't you feel both at the height of your human powers, illuminated as we are by the sun, but also utterly insignificant in the unfolding narrative of history?" And he looked me up and down and goes, "From the West Coast, are we, sonny?" I don't know what gave it away. It must be the turban. And I said to him, "Oh, how can you tell?" And he goes, "Oh, coming over here with your chat." We love sketch in Scotland. In fact, some of the best sitcoms in the history of television started as sketches. And you may not have heard of a tiny wee programme, forgotten, not terribly popular, but hugely influential, called Still Game. That was a joke. Jack and Victor started as a sketch in Chewing the Fat. And of course, Rabsy Nesbitt started in Naked Video. And I think in many ways, our saviour, our messiah through these troubled times is sketch comedy, because what it does is it holds a mirror up to who we really are and tells us truths about ourselves and about the society that we have. And if we can't laugh at ourselves and our society, what else can we laugh at? So we asked our stand-up comedian and sketchwriter friends from a range of diverse backgrounds to put together their thoughts and to offer us a comic snapshot of the UK in 2018. So without further ado, please welcome to your stage your performers, Vivian Achipong, Luke Manning, Jamie Rosemont, Nimisha Odedra, and Paul G. Raymond.
Kids, it's time for Union Jack and Ori, nursery rhymes for the Brexit age. This week, it's Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown and died before the paramedics could reach him because the NHS couldn't afford helicopters anymore.
Good morning, fellow bear.
Oh, hello, mate.
Did you hear we were burgled last week?
You're burgled?
Yeah, a little blonde girl snuck into our house, ate a load of our porridge and slept in our beds. Goldilocks, she was called.
Right.
Goldilocks, and named after her hair. Mental. It just makes you feel really violated, you know? I don't know if you've ever had anything similar.
Me? No. No one's ever broken into my house, because I live in the forest. You know, like a normal bear.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, you know, just that me and all the other bears, we live in the forest.
Okay, now I see what you say. You think it's wrong that I live in a house. Why are you so upset about this?
I don't know what's wrong with bears these days, you know? Did you see Rupert? He was walking around wearing yellow checkered trousers and a scarf. A scarf.
Oh, that is a major fashion faux pas.
Paddington just made two movies.
He's a big deal now.
And Winnie, right? Winnie, get this. He keeps hanging out with a 12-year-old boy.
No, that one is weird.
Bears should just do normal bear things, you know? We should all just stick to the bear necessities.
Maybe you're right. See you later, Baloo. Right, so this is the offending bomb that needs disposed of, is it?
Yes, there's no time!
OK, how long we got?
90 seconds, hurry up!
Right, thing is, I have to ask, why did you hire me?
What do you mean?
Like, why me specifically?
Because you're the best bomb disposal man in the business!
Am I, though?
What?
Well, you know, quotas and that. I really hope I'm not here because of the colour of my skin.
Could you just dispose of the, bomb?
Give me a minute. I'm making a point here. I know I'm good at my job. You don't need to tell me that, but I hate tokenism. Sorry, what's your name?
It's Elaine, for God's sake!
Sorry, Elaine. Unusual surname. Yep. I hate tokenism and... And I would hate to think that your thought process was, you know, oh, we'd better hire the Asian bomb disposal guy because we've got some ministry quota to fill. I need to know that I'm here on my own merit.
You're here on your own bloody merit!
You're sure about that? I mean, you do understand that this isn't some kind of validation exercise on my part, don't you? I want to be professional, but equally, I have to feel that I'm here for the right reasons.
Would you just cut a bloody wire or something?
I'll take that as a yes, then.
Yes!
Good, right. It's important to clear that up. Now, let me just get my tools and...
Oh!
Now, I do know a very good field surgeon who can sew that back on for you, but she is of Chinese heritage, so she will need some assurances.
Here, I'll tell you what, Sarah. You know, I'm tired of all these genders.
What?
All these genders. You know, I'm tired of all these genders. You got your male, female, horse.
Sorry?
People identify as anything these days. You got men, women, cis, transgender, couscous, horses, giraffes, cassocks, pigs in blankets.
Okay, that's not true though, is it? People identify for the first few things on that list, but famously none of the other six.
It is true. Look at this article here. Look, this guy thinks he's an horse.
That is a horse, and this is a horse magazine.
Yeah, now it's a horse, it's transitioned. That's what's so confusing. You jump on a horse these days, you might just be jumping on someone who identifies as an horse. They've ruined the Grand National. It's just 70 men, real men, riding around on 70 other men who identify as horses.
Even horses don't identify as horses, Piers. They think they're big sheep or hairy people that other people ride. Have you been reading the Daily Mail again?
Yeah. Or Maybe I've been reading someone who identifies as the Daily Mail.
There are two genders, Piers.
Ugh, transphobe.
Four tops. There are not 50.
Yes, there are. You know, if you own a bar, it's illegal to not have toilets for cats these days. In case people identify as a cat and they need to do a poo.
Not true.
Yes, it is. An upside down toilets for sloths and all.
Okay, Piers. Well, you run a bar. Get building.
What?
If you really believe that, and you aren't just being a transphobic old man with all the social awareness of a horse, you'd better get to it. Build a toilet for sloths.
Okay.
A urinal for leopards, that's going to be a lot of work, researching how high their testicles are.
Okay.
Or you can just admit that you're being a knob.
I'll get grouting. Welcome to this evening's discussion at the Oxford Union. Today we welcome Dr. Rebecca Stevens, who is an author, researcher, feminist, and coiner of the term mansplaining, which is when a man explains something that a woman is perfectly capable of doing herself. Is that how you describe it, Dr. Stevens?
Yes, that's a perfect example.
Example?
What you just did.
I don't know what you mean by that. So your book, Mansplaining, A Woman's Perspective, has been a roaring success.
Yes, it's sold over 10 million copies.
For anyone unaware, the book has sold more than 10,000 copies.
Yes, 10 million, like I said.
That's a big word for a little lady. So what is the root cause of mansplaining?
Well, mansplaining is rooted in men's need to dominate a conversation.
I was about to answer that question myself. Please don't interrupt.
That's very good.
What's so funny?
Now,
this desire to dominate comes from the idea that for men, conversation functions as a power struggle to prove one's superiority in a social setting.
Don't you think I should be talking about the book?
Well, I probably know it better than you.
I'm the author.
Yes, but it's mansplaining. When a man overexplains things to a woman. I'm a man. You're
yes,
a woman.
Yes, I had noticed.
Good. Now, supposedly, though I find this hard to believe, many men are blissfully unaware of the instances in which they've mansplained something, sometimes even to experts in their own field. Have you ever had any of that, Dr. Stevens?
All the time.
And apparently, women often report that their ideas and contributions to a group conversation are only taken seriously when rephrased by another man, which sounds a little far-fetched.
Well, Professor Brian Cox discussed this idea in an interview.
Oh, maybe it is true then.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
But I'm sorry, I don't really follow your point. Perhaps if you rephrase it at a lower pitch, like a man's.
Oh my God, have you even read the book?
No, but I can tell you my thoughts on each chapter.
This interview is over.
I think it's time for this interview to end. Join us next week when we discuss the ways in which white privilege goes unseen, alongside our guest, Dawn French's ex-husband.
It's time for Union Jackanory, nursery rhymes for the Brexit age. This week it's Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again because they didn't have the know-how as the government cut all funding for skills-based education. That's really impressive, Manny. I've got to admit, I've seen lots of candidates today, but you've really stood out. We'd like to offer you the position, so any questions for me?
Just the usual. Two words. Holiday, entitlement.
Oh, yeah, it's the usual 26 days and, of course, the bank holidays as well.
Right, and does that include religious holidays?
Well, the bank holidays cover Christmas and Easter.
OK, the classics. How about one of the biggies? Diwali, for instance.
Oh, I'm not sure we really cover that.
Come on, Jane. I can call you Jane, that's your name.
Well, it's usually Mrs. Edwards.
Because you did say the company prides itself on diversity.
Did I?
Well, it's on the pamphlet, page 7, next to the photo of the Idris lookalike.
Oh, I'm sure we can make an exception. It's the one-day festival, yes?
One day? Have you ever been to an Indian wedding? Put me down for 5. And while we're at it, let's put Ramadan on the table.
That's a Muslim festival. I thought you were...
Careful, Jane. You're about to say British, aren't you?
So, any other days?
Well, you can't expect me to work while I'm fasting. I'll be useless. Let's say 30 days for the month and then another week to recover.
So, Mr. Athwall, to have an additional 40 days on top of his annual leave.
Plus Guru Nanak's birthdays, 10 days for that one. Pilgrimage to Mecca, I'll need business class for the flight. Holi, 7 days, covered in dust. Vaisakhi, 5. Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, Halloween, Chinese New Year, Vesak. Okay, Jane, hit me with the total.
So, we're looking at 364 days annual leave.
Perfect. Bank account details are on my CV. See you in a year's time.
Dad?
Yes, my dear?
Everyone's laughing at our kite.
No, they are not. They are gasping. They are gasping in incredulity at our amazing kite.
No, Dad, they're definitely laughing.
Well, then, they are laughing at their own inadequacies because we have the best kite in the whole park.
Look at the state of that rubbish kite.
See?
It is not rubbish. They are rubbish. Our kite is the best.
Is it even a real kite, Dad?
Of course it is a real kite, daughter. It is the best kite. I got it online from bestkites.com.
So it's not a bag from Iceland, then?
What stupidity is this?
Well, it's just got Iceland written all over it.
Idiot child. The kite has Iceland emblazoned on it. Emblazoned because we have been sponsored by Iceland. Sponsored because they have heard that we have the best kite. And if they emblazon their name on it, then they will sell many, many, many more fish fingers and viadetta and things. And it is the best kite. Come, watch it fly. Fly, my lovely and best kite.
Dad, look, it doesn't even leave the ground.
Yes, let me see. Oh, silly Dad. Yes, I have left my fish fingers and Viennetta in the kite. Now fly, little kite, fly. Okay, so does anyone have any ideas about how to market this product?
I think the best thing to do would be to hit the stores where the young people go. Because that's our main audience. And I have a friend that works in this really hip shop. It's called Always 15 in Camden. She could definitely get us stocked.
Great. Anyone else?
Simple. Hit the stores where the young people go because that's our main audience. I have a friend who works at this hip shop, Always 15 in Camden. She could definitely get us stocked.
That's a brilliant idea, Derek. Good thinking.
Just said that.
In fact, I have a contact who works at that new store in Camden.
My contact.
You're splitting hairs, Tamar.
You're taking the mic, Derek.
Sorry, are you on your lady time?
What about a Christmas promo? Anyone had any thoughts about that? Anyone?
How about a limited edition bath range? Everyone buys toiletries at Christmas. It's a classic.
How about a limited edition bath range?
Honestly, Derek, that's inspired. Great thinking, let's definitely go with that.
That's literally what I just said 30 seconds ago.
Can you hear something? It's like a whining sound.
You are on fire, Derek. Lastly, anyone got a notion of a strap line for our New Year's promotion?
Clean up at Conway's.
Clean up at Conway's!
Nice, Derek. Snappy. What colour font?
Blue.
Blue.
Fantastic. And what,
The boss is a tosser?
The boss is a tosser.
What?
nothing. I panicked.
Aw. Are you on your lady time?
Madam, you need to move back, please. The scene is getting unsafe.
Oh, yeah, unsafe, is it? What, because I'm in it?
Sorry?
You all saw what he did. You all saw it. He singled me out from all these people because he thinks I'm going to cause trouble. Unbelievable.
No, I'm asking everyone to move back.
Yeah, that's right. Single me out.
Yeah, because you're causing an obstruction right now. So move back or I will move you.
Oh, don't you dare put your hands on me. I'm filming you.
I'm literally 10 feet away from you.
Oh, yeah. Guys, I'm being discriminated against. You all saw it.
What?
You're discriminating against me.
For what exactly?
For my ethnic association.
Ethnic association?
Yes, my boyfriend is black. Guys, this officer of the law is discriminating against me because my boyfriend is black. You're racist, mate, and that don't fly.
How could I possibly know that your boyfriend is black?
Oh, you know. You clocked me straight away. You saw that I have suffered, you know, secondhand, at the hands of the racist establishment, and you thought, hello, I'm having a piece of that.
Madam, you're being ridiculous now.
I mean, what is it you're scared of exactly? You're scared of one of your women laying down with a black man? Are you scared of your pure bloodline being tainted? Are you scared of a white woman who can make her own jerk chicken marinated from scratch?
Madam, if you don't move back right now, I will arrest you.
Go on then, arrest me. Add me to the statistics.
Of what? Middle-class white women in jail?
Shut your face.
I didn't know he was black, and even if I did,
Then what? I'd be locked up by now. Come on, guys. Racist! Racist! Racist!
Look, your boyfriend needs to take you away before you get arrested. Where is he anyway?
He's at home watching Bake Off. Look, please arrest me.
What? Why?
Because I've never been in jail, right? Denny's been in jail like 5 times in 3 years. All wrongful arrest because he's like, you know, black. And he keeps banging on about it. Goes down the storm at dinner parties. I want to do jail time.
Right, I'm arresting you for causing an obstruction.
Oh, thank you.
Time for Union Jack and Nori, nursery rhymes for the Brexit age. This week it's Old MacDonald.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on that farm he had nothing because he voted for Brexit and lost it all, including his wife, when the EU subsidies ran out. E-I-E-I-O.
Hi. Sorry, could you take a photograph of us, please?
Do you know you're kind of being passive-aggressive racist right now, asking an Asian to take your pics?
Sorry, that wasn't my intention. I just want a picture of me and my wife.
Well, in case you and your wife hadn't noticed, we're no longer living in the British Empire, so take it yourself.
That's rude. Come on, India.
India?
It's her name.
It's my name.
Well, if that's not cultural appropriation, I don't know what is.
My parents named me India. It's not my fault.
Oh, blame it on your parents, why don't you? I'm sure they're very proud by the choices you've made.
What's that supposed to mean?
Sorry, can you take my picture?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Thank you. If you could keep it landscaped, that would be much appreciated.
Sorry? Is there a reason you asked a white man to take your picture when you could have asked me?
No.
I am marginally closer in distance to you than him. Did you think I was going to nick it or something?
No.
With that phone cover, no one would nick it if you paid them, love.
Smile. Could you take ours too?
Sure.
Oh, sorry, can you not photobomb our pictures?
Did you really just use the B-O-M-B word?
First of all, big grats, everyone. Great feedback, Ari, the pilot script of Met Squad. Diversity-wise, the execs are very happy about the inclusion of Robina, our female Muslim DI. So thank you, Afsana, for your input and insight into the modern Muslim female psyche.
Yeah, thanks.
One note has come back, though, and it's that we've been so keen to integrate the character of Robina that we've actually gone too far and haven't included any Muslim things in her storyline. So, Afsana, you're a Muslim. How can we Muslim up Robina's storyline? But in a, you know, a believable and very real way.
Not with you.
Well, okay, for example, as a Muslim, what did you get up to at the weekend?
I went climbing on a wall on Saturday.
Oh, perfect. So what happened? Flesh it out for us.
Well, I sort of climbed up it. And then I climbed back down. Oh, and I had a smoothie as well.
Right. Okay, was it halal?
No.
Oh, was that an issue?
No.
And did anything more, you know, more sort of Muslim-y happen?
Well, I did spill it on a Muslim.
Oh, did you? Right, excellent. Who?
Me. Spilt it on my jeggings.
So what you're saying is your actions had a very real and negative impact on a member of the Muslim community.
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Love it, love it. Right, Julie, stick it on the whiteboard. Episode 1. D.I. Robina Avan goes to a climbing wall, goes up it, comes down, has a smoothie and spills it on her jeggings. Lovely stuff. BAFTA, here we come. Look, everyone, a flying saucer!
Greetings, humans.
I can't believe it! Real aliens!
Do not be alarmed. We come in peace. Our home planet, Bilgaxian 5, was destroyed by a fleet of Thrantian warships. We merely seek refuge on your planet.
Oh, here we go. We've heard all this before. So you want to come into our communities and take all our jobs?
Jobs? We have no concept of jobs.
Typical.
They'll be looking for handouts next.
We don't have hands.
Oh, he's right. Look at their weird tentacles.
Now, we must respect their culture. Their weird tentacles are part of what makes them who they are.
Yes, we can teach you so much.
Oh, so they're trying to get in our schools now.
Yeah, where are you lot planning to live exactly? Not around my way, I'll tell you that right now for nothing.
Probably moving to little flats with their 12 kids and all their cousins.
We have no concept of this cousin, and our infants remain in an internal belly sack until maturity.
Are we there yet?
Stay inside, Gareth. Grown-ups are talking.
Oh.
We can bring you great advances in science and technology. We can advance the progress of your species by thousands of years if you let us show you our Bilgaxian methods.
All right, that's quite enough of that.
Yeah, if you're here, you'll be adopting our ways. Thank you very much.
But we have studied your medicines, your healthcare. We can improve your quality of life immensely.
Oh, yet another burden on the NHS.
No. In fact, we have cures for many of your most serious diseases.
And what about all the crime you'll bring?
Crime? We are a peace-loving species. We have no need for crime.
What if I throw this brick? Will you be so peace-loving then? See, the crime rate's gone up already.
I've seen enough. We've no room for you lot.
Yeah, get out of it.
Please, we only seek refuge.
Oh, then what? It's Bilgaxians today. Tomorrow it'll be Klingons. By next week, we've got predators running around, and before you know, we're up to our knees in Ewoks.
Clear off, fish features.
Then let us leave you with this message of peace. Clatu barada nicto.
Oh, what's that? Is that a grime song, is it?
Yeah, that music promotes violence. Get off our land.
Very well, but we must warn you of the grave Thrantian threat. We may be able to protect you.
Didn't you hear us, Four Eyes? E.T., go home. Yeah, good riddance. Bet they didn't even have proper passports. Not nice blue ones, anyway.
I wonder what he meant by Thrantian threat.
Yeah, it's probably some kind of kebab.
Flight IC308 to New York. Please make your way through security and head to gate 23. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, nothing to be afraid of. I'm just a brown man getting on a plane.
Evening.
Do you want me to take off my shoes?
No need, buddy.
But don't you want to check them for, you know, anything suspicious?
You're wearing flip-flops, sir. I can see your toes from here. Phone in the tray, pal.
Right. It's not one of those ones where the battery blows up.
Okay, if you'd like to make your way through the security gate.
Thank you very much. Remember, it's not anthrax. Auto party flower. Okay, here it goes. 1, 2, 3. There was no beep.
Should there have been?
You tell me, I'm wearing a belt.
That's made of plastic.
I've got coins in my pocket.
Which the machine doesn't detect.
And my full name is Mr. Omar Osama bin Saddam ISIS Hussein.
Unlucky.
Aren't you going to frisk me or probe my cavities for radioactive elements?
No.
Are you setting me up? Are you waiting to frame me with a bottle of lime-coloured mineral water so you've got a reason to shoot me on the plane?
No.
What if I'm some sleeper soldier and I don't even know it and Al-Qaeda's fitting a chip in my brain that can go active at any second? I insist you arrest me at once and my family. Guantanamo Bay, that's the place for me.
I'm not going to arrest you.
Why the hell not?
Because you're the pilot, Omar.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for your Sketchtopia performers!
Sketchtopia was hosted by me, Hardeep Singh Kohli, and starred Vivian Achapong, Luke Manning, Jamie Rose Monk, Nimisha Odedra, and Paul G. Raymond. The script was written by Sunny Bahai, Alice Gregg, Tamar Broadbent, Maddie Anholt, Kareem Khan, Stevie Cook, Aisha Siddiqui, Jim Felton, Neil Bratchpiece, Shai Hussein, and In Cahoots. The producer was Gus Beatty. Sketchtopia is a Gusman production for BBC Radio 4.
And you can listen again and download all